this is a beautiful song. If you just listen to those words, I came you with nothing. But Jesus, bring new wine. Just pour that into me, whatever that might mean. Sometimes we think when days are hard and difficult, where is the Lord? He's there. He was there in that moment when we crushed, or God crushed him for us on that cross. Reminds us that God will never leave us. God is always there with us. And there will be new wine. But share the wine. Lord, thank you for this moment. Thank you for this worship that just takes us to a different place where we're allowed to let go and just be in your presence. Thank you for your amazing word that we might live by. And now as we break this word together, may we see Jesus and only Jesus. Amen. Concluding our series this week called Heaven Celebrates, where we were talking about God seeking us in this world. Jesus' wonderful words, I have come to seek and to save those who are lost. Never let's go. But to end the series, I want to end it with a question. A question that if we answer the question today, it will change our lives forever. It's the first question ever asked in the Bible. So go with me to Genesis chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 1 to 9, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. We were talking about folks saying, put the Pew Bibles back, and I'm saying, which translation are you going to put in there? New Living, ESV, NIV, the Message, because I'm always in all different translations. Genesis 3. Now the serpent was the shrewdest. That's a good translation. Of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden? Boy, he's a deceiver, always has been, right? Because he's lying. But that's what he does, just changes a little word. Of course we may eat from the fruit of the tree, eat the fruit from the trees in the garden, the woman replied. It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we're not allowed to eat, God said. Because God said you must not eat it or even touch it, because if you do, you will die. You won't die, the serpent replied to the woman. God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God. Underline that little line. And you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful, and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it could give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. And then she gave some to her husband, who was with her. Underline that. He was standing right there. And he ate it too. At that moment, their eyes were opened and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together. Calvin Klein. Sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. Sorry. When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. So they hid from the Lord God among the trees. Then the Lord God called to Adam, where are you? In the Hebrew, one word, Ayeka, where are you? That's the question we're going to ask this morning. Where are you? Because in a sense, Adam and Eve represents each one of us as we live in this world. So let's just take the story right from the beginning and just paint it again. So God creates this beautiful place and creates this garden where everything is amazing and perfect. A place of blessing, of gifts, of peace. And he says to Adam and Eve, there you go. It's yours. Gives them everything they need. Air to breathe, food to eat, water to drink, work to do. Wonderful companionship, Adam and Eve. But God, every evening, he would come. And I always say, God sat down and had a cup of tea with them. All of this he gives. And all is fine and dandy. Until the day that Adam and Eve decide that they knew better than God. And they wanted to be God in their own lives. And in that moment, they mess it all up. Walter Brueggemann, in the commentary, when he writes on this passage, he writes this and he says, the problem in this world is that we do not want to acknowledge God for who God is. And because of that, we sit with all the chaos and the struggles and the messes and all the things that go with that. Because we want to play God and not acknowledge God for who God is. And we want to take a moment to think about that. I think he just hit the nail right on the head, right there. It's the moments when we take over from God and we think that we know better than God, that's when the messes start. That's when the chaos starts. Just look at Adam and Eve. You see that in that moment. All is fine. All is dandy. All is good. All loving. And in the moment they do that, the mess starts. That which gave them fruit and gave them food all of a sudden becomes thorns and thistles. That beautiful relationship that was there between Adam and Eve. You remember that moment when she came into this world and Adam woke up and he saw her. Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, come here, let me kiss you. All of a sudden became this woman that you gave me. That openness that was there between Adam and Eve. In that moment, they looked up and said, holy smokes, you need something to cover yourself up. That beautiful relationship with God, where God came around for tea every afternoon. All of a sudden, Adam and Eve are looking for a place to hide. Where are you? Where are you? Maybe we should ask the question this morning to ourselves. Where are you? Because in the question, where are you, there are a few invitations. Number one, the first invitation is an invitation to stop and reflect. Can I explain that? This world that we live in has lost its mind. It's out of control. It's spinning out of control. Think of your own life, because here's the invitation. Where are you? Invite you to stop and reflect about that for 1 second. We run like crazy people. We never stop. You work, you work, you work. You go home, you're on your phone, you work. You go home, you're on your computer, you work. You run like nobody's business. It just never stops. I've often wondered if we spend more time in the Word or the amount of time that we spend on our phones, holy moly, what a change that would bring in our lives. But let me not go there. It's a moment, an invitation to stop and reflect. When I was still teaching at the seminary, we stopped at Genesis. And I always said, did you see the rhythm that God put into this world? God's rhythm looks like this. Work, 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 work. Rest. And it's not rest in the, oh, you can't eat, you can't drink, you can't. No, no, no. rest in me. But what do we do? Work, 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 work. And we understand why we burn out. We don't understand why we don't have relationships. We don't understand why things are just falling apart. It's because we've broken God's rhythm of stop, breathe, reflect. Give yourself a break. It's an invitation to ask yourself, where are you in your relationship with God? It's an invitation to stop and just think about that and take a little bit of that time. How often do you do that? For me, one of my most wonderful times in the day is in the morning. I make myself my cornmeal porridge. That's my breakfast. Then I go up to the den. There's a beautiful window where the sun comes in, and I sit on my little couch there. And I say, thank you for my porridge. And then I just have some fun with God. I just sit and talk to him. I don't go on my knees. I don't fold my little hands. I don't say all kinds of things. All I do is I talk to God. I just have some time with him. Spend some time in his presence. I'm not praying. Actually, I am. Because I'm just saying, hey, God, it's going to be a tough day today. I'm not sure I can get through this. You got some advice on how I do this? Hey, God, I'm worried about Elsie. She's working too much. Can you just slow her down a little? No, I don't say that. I just take a little time and I breathe. And it's the most amazing time of my day. Sometimes I don't say a word. I just sit in God's presence. And sometimes God doesn't say a word. He just sits next to me. We just hang. Where are you? Make time to stop and just be with him. It doesn't have to be I'm studying. It doesn't have to be. It's just sitting with the Lord. In those moments are the most amazing moments in where he changes your life. As holy as he is, so approachable is God. What are you doing with your thoughts? Where are you in your thoughts? I read this and I want to write a sermon about this because it kind of got me going. This person said, when we put stuff in the body, all kinds of stuff, some is good, some is bad, the body has this wonderful mechanism of getting rid of all the stuff that it doesn't need and the bad stuff. What do you do with the stuff that goes into your mind? Sits there. In a month, I think, we're going to do a sermon series called Think About What You Think About. And we're going to talk about this a little bit. We're going to talk about what are you doing with your mind? What are you doing with the thoughts? Where are you with the stuff that you allow to go in there? Because it comes out in this, in this, in this. Where are you? Portia Nelson writes this beautiful poem. And Grace, I'm going to do them one slide by one slide. Sorry, I didn't tell you that ahead of time, but I knew you would know it. It's called An Autobiography in 5 Short Chapters. So if you put slide one on there. So, chapter one. I walk down the street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I fall in. I'm lost. I'm helpless. This isn't my fault. It takes me forever to find a way out. Chapter 2. I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I pretend I don't see it. I fall in again. I can't believe I'm in the same place, but it isn't my fault. It still takes a long time to get out. Chapter 3. I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I see it's there. I still fall in. It's my fault. Or sorry, it's a habit. My eyes are open. I know where I am. It's my fault. I get out immediately. chapter 4. I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I walk around it. Chapter 5. I walk down another street. Stop and reflect. Where are you? Where are you? Are you walking down that same street? And maybe it's time to walk down another street. It's also an invitation to come out of hiding. Because we do the Adam and Eve thing so well. The moment I mess up, the moment things go wrong, I hide away. And we're so good at hiding. I'll hide behind my busyness. Oh, I'm busy. I'm doing all of these things. So it keeps me busy. So it takes my mind away from the stuff that I'm hiding from. I don't address that. I go hide away because, look, I have to do this. I have to take care of this. I have to be. Where are you? We hide behind our masks. Boy, are we good at that. How are you doing? Oh, I'm fine. In the meantime, I'm bleeding on the inside. You look great. Yeah, thank you. In the meantime, I am struggling so hard and I'm not good. I can't keep it together, but I wear the mask. Can I tell you something? God says, get out of hiding. It's okay not to be okay. And it's okay to say that. It's okay to struggle. The mask puts you in a hiding place. And the more you hide, the deeper you go into the depths that you don't want to be. When you open that up and you give it to your Father, that's when all the change happens. Don't wear the masks. We play happy families when we all know that there's anguish and there's struggle and we don't address that and we just hide it and we hide away. We hide because our own lives are a little messed and we don't want to show that and we pretend. Come out of hiding, because here's the thing. When we come out of hiding, we come into this place of healing and openness and transparency. And when I can say that before my God, that's when things change. What did Jesus do in that moment in the garden? Did he hide? He said, Father, I am scared to death. He said, Father, I'm not sure I can handle this. Help me. I know you'll do the best. He didn't hide. Why do we hide? He says, come, I'll talk to you. Come, I'll be with you. You can say it. Jeremiah, he said to God, God, I'm ticked off at you to the nth degree. You put me in this, and life's hard, and life's difficult, and I just can't handle it. And God said, that's fine, Jeremiah. Let me walk with you. And then Jeremiah said, and then it just became like fire in my bones. I couldn't stop it. When you come and you ask and you open it up, you give him a chance to change all of the stuff that I'm hiding from and hiding in. Where are you? Let me end. It's also an invitation into the searching heart of God. And now you have to remember 2 weeks worth of sermons. Because there we saw that heart of God. 101 wanders off and gets lost and doesn't know how to get back. And he goes searching for that one. Out of 10, one falls in a place where it can't get itself out, and it's in the dark and in the dust, and he won't stop until he finds that, because it can't even get back to him by itself. But he goes looking. Maybe I'm the sheep. Maybe I'm the coin. Or maybe I'm the boy that chose to walk away. and mess it all up. But there's that heart that never stops, always searching. And when it sees, boy, those arms open, and he comes running. And his heart is filled with, can you remember the Greek word? Splachnit somai, compassion. Turns around in him and it says, I can't help it. I love you so much. And he takes me and he kisses me. That's the searching heart of God. Where are you? Where are you? Will you let God find you? Amen. Take a few moments, silent prayer. Thank you, Lord, for not giving up. Even when we do the Adam and Eve thing and find a hiding place. Thank you that you will search into the dark corners. That you will search until you find. That you will wait so that we can return. So here we are, Lord. Thank you for finding us. Thank you for inviting us to come into your presence. And thank you this morning as we are going to sit at this table that we are reminded of that invitation. Where are you? I love you. Thank you that you love us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.